You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 44.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Kathy Groover. Kathy is an award-winning author and the host of a national TV show based on her first book, The Alternative Medicine Cabinet, winner of the Beverly Hills Book Awards. She has earned her PhD in natural health and has authored two books on stress, Mind-Body Therapies for the Body Worker, and Conquer Your Stress with Mind-Body Techniques. She has studied mind-body medicine at the famed Benson Henry Institute for Mind-Body Medicine at Harvard Medical School and pursued further education at the National Institutes of Health.
Welcome, Kathy. Thank you so much for joining me today on Mindful Marketing. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So the Alternative Medicine Cabinet, I have to say this has been one of my passions. I do all sorts of homeopathic stuff. I make my own face scrub. I do everything from scratch. I love it. So I'm super excited to talk to you today.
Oh, I'm very excited. It's good to hear that people are incorporating some more natural things into their lives. It's the time we need to start doing that.
Absolutely. So what is your story? What is your personal journey that took you down the path to creating the Alternative Medicine Cabinet and where you are today?
Yeah, it started in a place that no one would suspect. I was actually an actress. I was a theater major from the time I was in about fifth grade. I swore that my life was going to be performing. I grew up in Pittsburgh, only child, daughter of a dad that wanted a son, very competitive, very type A. So the thought of getting into any kind of medicine, whether it was Western medicine, alternative medicine, never even occurred to me. I didn't come from a family of doctors. I didn't come from a family of, you know, people who are into natural medicine. One of the turning points, though, was I lost my mom at 18 to cancer. And though people want to say, oh, well, of course, that's why you do what you do. Your mom died so young. And I go, yeah, but it's not as simple as A plus B equals C. You know, it didn't propel me into this career. It happened very accidentally. I always had a penchant for massage. I always had the inclination to put my hands on people to help them feel better. But again, never thought of it as a career. And when I was in college, I was a theater major. And during one of our summer productions, this woman shows up and everyone's so excited. Dr. Pat is here. Dr. Pat is here. And they're running off to meet her. And I'm thinking, what is a Dr. Pat? I don't know what this is. Why is everyone running to this little short old woman? And she showed up with a bunch of mats and a bunch of herbs and a big thing of tea. And she would work on the actors for free.
Oh, wow.
She would show up a couple days a week. We were doing intense, crazy children's theater, like full-blown melees, and we had a scale pirate ship on stage. We were swinging from ropes, and these actors were just beating each other, you know, beating the crap out of ourselves and each other. And she would come up work on us for free. And I sat there multiple days a week and just watched what she did. I didn't have a lot to do during this play. And one day near the end of the summer, she turned to me and she said, "Kathy, you know, I'm so backed up, and there's so many people waiting. Can you take those mats and go in the other room and work on John?" And I looked at her and I said, no. I said, I'm an actor. I said, I don't know what I'm doing. And she looked very deeply into my eyes. And, you know, the music swelled and everything sort of blurred out of focus. And she looked at me and she said, "Yes, you do." And I had the sense to listen to her. And it was one of those pivotal moments where someone around me of influence had more knowledge than I did. And that was the start of my massage career. I was 20 years old. And I apprenticed with her for 2 summers and then studied in Los Angeles when I got here for acting and studied in Santa Barbara and studied out of Florida and then studied more and more and more. And now I've got a PhD and a bunch of books. And, you know, the performance aspect came back in with every podcast I do and every time I'm on the radio. And when I stand in front of a group to talk, it's the perfect combination of the acting and the healing. And it was a convoluted journey and it's not over yet, but that was the start. Me in the back room of a theater learning to do massage.
That's such a beautiful story. I love it when, you know, and a few of my guests have had those stories where it's like the little old lady from nowhere comes knocking on a door.
Right.
We need to listen when she comes.
Well, and it's been so phenomenal because the book that I'm working on right now talks a lot about my personal story of how I got to where I am. And in writing how I learned how to do certain modalities, I see there were pivotal people who came and went in my life who turned to me, looked me deep in the eyes and told me to do something or told me I knew how to do something. And I had the sense to listen to them. You know, it was like my own little Yodas kept popping up all over the place and guiding me to things that I never would have found on my own. I would assume, you know, so sometimes you just have the sense to really listen to your heart and what someone's telling you and know, yeah, you know, they're right. I got to do that.
Yeah, it's all about listening.
Yeah.
Open to listening. So what was the turning point? So now you're, you know, massage therapist, and what was the turning point to like going, okay, I do this for clients one-on-one. How do I make this bigger?
Yeah, well, I had actually completely given up massage. When I left Los Angeles, I gave it up. I sold my table. I let my fingernails grow. I was ecstatically happy to put my nail clippers away. And I got to Santa Barbara with a very high-paying job in production because I ended up doing production a lot down in Los Angeles. Told my boyfriend, now husband, hey, I'm making so much money. You don't have to work. You can just write. And after 6 weeks, the job fell through.
Oh.
And I found myself in Santa Barbara with no job, with a boyfriend who wasn't working because I told him he didn't have to, with a very expensive apartment, with no prospect to go back to LA. Nobody, I knew nobody here in Santa Barbara. And I went, oh, poo, what am I going to do? And I floundered. I mean, I went from, you know, looking for just any day job because I no longer had a career. I wasn't acting. I wasn't in production. I wasn't doing massage. And I would walk down our main street here in Santa Barbara and I'd look at people and I'd go, okay, their right shoulder's high and their left hip's high and clearly they're in pain. And oh, he had knee surgery and oh, his hip's bad. And my husband finally said, my God, woman, clearly you want to do this. So either shut up, driving me crazy, or go do it. And that was the start of me really doing massage full time. I realized I had to make it a business. And because I was used to marketing myself as an actor, I had no problem getting the business cards, getting the website, getting in the phone book when we had phone books then. There's a book. It has a lot of phone numbers in it. things that we don't use anymore. You know, so I had that, the personality to let people know I was good at what I did. And because I was so enthusiastic about it, and I still am, people are just attracted to that enthusiasm. People who don't know me look at me and go, oh, I can tell you're a good healer. Because of the way I talk about it, the enthusiasm that I show and the joy that I get from helping people. And that was the launch to me really making this a business career. And my second year in practice, I was selected by Massage Magazine of one of the best practices in the country. Just because of what I had built up so quickly. I mean, I went from sitting on the beach in a lawn chair, hoping I got a phone call for a massage that day, to I have a waiting list now. My next opening is Thanksgiving week.
Wow.
And it's now, what, not even the end of October yet. So I'm crazy busy. And I realized that, you know, it's great to say you're a massage therapist or a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, whatever, but you also have to be a good business person. And I've always prided myself on putting just as much effort into my business as I do my practice. And I think that's a balance point that misses for a lot of people who are artists or healers or, you know, it's a different brain function.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll say this, I think you are my first guest that is a massage therapist that has really hit the mark with the business.
Yeah.
So what was one of the first things you did when you started your business that said, I'm going to make it take off? What was your plan to know that it was going to take off like it did?
I had no plan. It's so terrible. And it's so funny. We were talking off air that I collaborated and wrote this book on marketing your practice. And my colleague said, well, do you want to write the section on business plans or should I? And I looked at him and said, I didn't write a business plan. I wouldn't even know the first thing about it. And he's like, really? Because it has grown so much and it seems, you know, for someone looking from the outside, it seems so structured. And I was just like, phone book ad, or sure, I'll put my business name on a bench at a golf course. Why not? Sure, I'll do phone book covers. Oh, sure, I'll do flyers at Whole Foods. I mean, you know, it's like I was grasping at straws. There was nobody who I knew who was a healer who no one could be a mentor for me on that. And I really just sort of paved my own way and went, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Let's see what works. It was a lot of throwing spaghetti and seeing what stuck. And I learned very quickly what didn't work. Very quickly, there's a whole chapter in the book on this will not work. A waste of money. Do not try it. But, you know, I mean, at first it was, you know, this was 15 years ago. I got a lot of people out of the phone book, and I paid for, you know, an expensive display ad with multiple colors. I picked a business name, and I did a talk at a high school the other day, and we were talking about, do you want it to be Kathy Groover or do you want it to be a business? And I made it Healing Circle Massage. Because someday I thought, you know, if I have employees, if I have staff, you want the phone to be, hi, this is Karen. Thanks for calling here, Healing Circle Massage, as opposed to, yeah, Kathy's here somewhere. You know, I really wanted to make it not about me, which is tough as a massage therapist because everyone wants me.
Right.
They don't want an assistant. They don't want another therapist. They wanted me. It's like your hairdresser. You want them. So it was tough. I was working my tail off, you know, diving for the phone on the weekends and trying to fill in appointments at night. And it was a lot of running around. It was a lot of stress. And my poor husband stood in parking lots and grocery stores and, you know, while I'm trying to get things booked. He was endlessly patient of me being gone till 9 o'clock at night working on new clients because I needed the business. It was nonstop. It was really nonstop.
So what are one of the things that works for you now, since we can read your book and find out what didn't work? So what do you find works best for you now to reach your ideal client?
You know, it's word of mouth now. You know, I've got such established relationships with a couple chiropractors. There are orthopedic surgeons in town who, if their patient says, I really need a massage, they trust that I know what I'm doing. So they've sent them to me. Pregnant women, I have a lot of cancer patients. So, you know, that becomes really a word of mouth thing. And I have just pulled all my stuff out of the Yellow Pages. You know, I have a teeny little line ad just so that I have presence there in case someone happens to try to find me in the phone book. But my website gets a lot of traffic. You know, my website's been established for so long. It's got good presence if you type in Santa Barbara Massage. But it's come down to, I get really good results. I do good work. And I'm good to be around. You know, people enjoy the conversation we have if they choose to talk during their massage just as much as they do the healing session. And being that I went on and did so much more education, I'm not just a massage therapist. You know, I do homeopathics, I do herbs, I do hypnotherapy. I just added that to my practice. The stress, the mind body, I read medical books like crazy. So I have a good working knowledge of Western medicine. So people come to me as a health practitioner. I'm not just, hey, can you fix this muscle? It's, can you help me with my life?
And I love your, I think so much of it probably too is your energy, and like you mentioned earlier, your enthusiasm. You can just feel it. You're like, I can fix you and make you feel amazing.
Yep. And they trust that if I can't, I tell them that. And I had a referral from a chiropractor. A gal was having hand issues, and I'm good with, you know, things like carpal tunnel and forearm stuff. And, you know, after about 10 minutes, I looked at her and I said, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, I can't help you. And I don't know that body work is the way to go for you. I would get an MRI, keep up the chiropractic, and try acupuncture.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm not, and I said, I said, we have a couple choices. I can either stop now and just charge you for the 15 minutes, or, you know, if you want, I'll give you a nice massage. She goes, well, let's do the massage. And I sent her away, and I don't think she'll come back because I can't help her problem. But I'm not going to keep working on someone and taking their money, which people work so hard for, and wasting their time and wasting my time when I could see someone that I can help. Just because of ego or, you know, it's not my thing. And people detect that in me, and they trust that, and they appreciate that. So
yeah, it's all about changing lives. That's the key.
Exactly.
So are you using social media to do any of your advertising, or is it really more kind of mainstream old school ways?
Yeah, well, it was the mainstream old school ways. I mean, I had ads in newspapers and, you know, our local little like weekly alternative paper. And I don't advertise my practice anymore because it's so full. And like I said, I've cut back on the yellow pages. I don't do a lot of the promotion that I was doing before just because I'm so full. I had done a Groupon once, which was good and bad. It was, oh my God, it was a logistical nightmare because I sold so many. It really freaked me out. I mean, I was never so stressed. I needed it. I was, you know, I was practically in Maeve. My mother always said she was going to go. But it was just, it was too much. It was crazy. For someone just starting out, try it. But oh man, I was hammered. What I use social media for now, and I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook. I'm just about to pick up my blog again. I do podcasting on Libsyn. I do lots of YouTube videos. I use that to market my books, my video, my expertise, my speaking. I'm about to launch a whole new stress program to go along with my Conquer Your Stress book. So that's what I use the social media for. Not so much for the massage because I'm so booked and, you know, I need to reach local people for that. I have a list of clients I call and say, hey, I have a cancellation today. But the social media has been so great at getting the word out and, you know, helping me sell books and helping me connect with people who do podcasts like you and radio interviews and TV stuff. And it's been fabulous to be able to connect in that way. And it's such a new thing still. It's been invaluable to me.
That is, I know. Everyone goes, social media. And I'm like, it's a love-hate relationship, but Yep. It's just such a great way to connect with everybody.
And well, now it's the only way to connect with people. And, you know, I'm not a huge Twitter person. Of the three, Twitter's probably my least favorite just because I'm not sure I get the point of it, you know. But I've had people, you know, I messaged you on Twitter 6 weeks ago. And it's like, but I don't communicate that way. You know, email me or, you know, geez, if anything, message me on Facebook. You know, to have so many people communicating in so many ways. I'm not on Skype. I use Skype literally to do stuff like what I'm doing with you. And I had someone get so upset because they had messaged me on Skype like 6 months ago. And I never responded. I'm like, okay, but I don't use Skype as a way. You have my email address. Like, why would you, you know, message me on Skype? And then, yeah, it was so bizarre. So I think it's, you know, like you said, the good, the bad, and the ugly of it. It can be a little extreme depending on your lifestyle a little bit.
Email.
It's so much easier.
Right. I have to laugh at the Skype thing because I have some people that like do that. I didn't even realize you could message on Skype. Like, I mean, when you're on, yes, but I never thought of it to use it when you're not on. I'm like, I don't go on except to do my podcast.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And when you connected me with this morning, I said, hey, looking forward to our podcast session. But it's like 6 weeks from now, I'm not going to, you know, ask you a question on Skype. I mean, it's like, why would I do? Yeah, I know. And everyone's got their favorite one. People are on Google Plus. People are on Pinterest. People are on, you know, it's growing so exponentially. It really is hard to keep up. And with someone like myself that has a full-time practice and I'm writing and I'm doing shows and I'm mentoring people, oh my God, the thought of adding one more thing I have to do every day, it's really overwhelming. You know, I got to do Pinterest now. I got to pin things. What am I pinning? I'm a massage therapist, you know.
You like, forget it.
It's a naked foot. What am I going to show you? You know.
So funny. So, you know, we talked about how busy you are with your practice. So what steps are you taking to create the passive income so that you're making money that's not tied to your time?
Exactly. Well, and like I said, I'm doing Brendan Burchard's program, and he specifically works with experts and getting experts to have systems in place. And I know cognitively that I should have done this ages ago. He used the example of, you know, he knows people that have gotten on Oprah's show to sell their book. She no longer has her show, but when she was doing that, you know, and they would sell, let's say, 5,000 books, and then what? What? You know, and I realize that's the case with me. I mean, I've got 4 books. My 5th is on the way. After you've bought my $15 book, what is there? And he talks specifically about creating systems and programs. So I'm about to start a very exclusive health coaching program. It'll only be open to 5 people. It'll start on January 1st and it'll cover the entire year. You'll get time with me every single week to set your health goals, to make sure you're staying on track. We'll do food, we'll do exercise, we'll do stress, customized visualizations and hypnotherapy. I will fly you to Santa Barbara for a weekend. I want to do stuff like that. I'm putting podcasts in place that are going to be for sale, doing customized visualizations for people in the $20 range. You know, I'm having an audio program that goes with my stress program and video programs. You know, why not buy 10 DVDs walking you through everything that I talk about? So I'm realizing in the last, you know, this is new for me. This is maybe the last 6 or 7 weeks. I really need to put stuff in place because the make a dollar for every minute you work. you can only do that for so long, yeah. especially in massage. And, you know, I have so much knowledge to offer, and I really want to get it out there so that people can enjoy it when they're not one-on-one with me. So I've got a lot of really great things coming up, and then I will really be using social media, But I'm so excited about the coaching program. I've had a couple people ask already, and I'm only going to see either 3 or 5 people for it for the whole year. And I'm so excited about it.
That's fantastic. And I'll take this opportunity to mention, I always talk about building the platform. Yep. That is probably one thing I run into with my clients in mind, body, spirit arena is they have books and books, but there's no platform.
Yep.
And so creating that product and like you said, the podcast, the books, the products, it's, you bring it all together and then it's like, there you go. And now you can have the 6-7 figure business without really working that hard.
Exactly. And I know the coach, I mean, of all the work, you know, once you have the audio program down, you have the audio program down. You put it out there, you encourage people to get it if they like the book and blah, blah, blah. Doing the coaching I know is going to be work, because if I'm on the phone with 5 people a week, every week, I mean, that's going to take up time and I have to do research and things. But for someone that really wants that intensive exposure to what I know and what I do, it's the perfect thing for them. You know, I've had people joking that they're going to start selling their appointments on eBay because I'm so busy. Once they get one, they're going to hold on to it and just, like, you know, pass it down to their children. I'm like, oh my God. It's like season tickets at the Steelers game. You know, it gets passed on to your children when you pass on.
That is a nice problem to have.
it really is an awesome, it's a great issue. And I don't want to forget those days where I was sitting at home with only 2 appointments, wondering if I was going to be able to pay for my laundry this week. You know, I don't want to forget that. That was not a long time ago. And, you know, things can happen where you go back to that. So it's like, I always want to remember that I have not always been this successful. You know, think back to those days when I was, you know, trying to find coins under the mat for gas when I was a starving actor and didn't have money for dinner and I was living off, you know, Taco Bell and soda because it's all I had money for. I don't want to forget that time. Right. It wasn't that long ago and we could all end up back there in a blink of an eye.
So true. Remember where we came from.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. Keep it there. So you mentioned you're doing live events as well. So tell me a little bit about your live events and how you're capturing leads at those events.
Yeah. I do the typical pass around the sheet and sign up for my email newsletter. And one of the other things I realized is, you know, you think back and you go, duh, idiot. Why did I not think of this? I don't offer anything for signing up for my newsletter. And, you know, one of the things that Brendan stresses is value, give people value. So now I have a super secret health tip. So if you sign up for my newsletter, you get a video, which is my super secret health tip. It's the number one thing you have to do to change your health. And I had a lot of people go, ooh, super secret, and sign up for the thing. It took me, you know, 4 minutes to record it and put it up on YouTube and, you know, do that thing. But it's like, well, of course I should be offering something. So I've been working with I have a web gal who's amazing. She doesn't work for, she has a full-time job, but she only does my website just because she loves what I do. And we're restructuring the whole thing to make sure there's a lot of really good content. And so, you know, I encourage people to sign up. Typically after I speak, and I'm sure you've had this experience too, you know, someone sees you live, they are scrambling to get your books. They're scrambling to talk to you. They want your news. They want more. And I'm really excited to, like you said, have these platforms in place so that I can give them more. So it's not just a one-time thing of, okay, here's my $10 book. Okay, bye. You know, I want to keep people informed. I want to keep offering things that are going to help them improve their lives.
And they are hungry for more. And when you're solving the problem, you know, yes, when you're solving their problems and making their life better, then that's what it's all about.
Exactly. And it's funny that you say solving the problem. I did a talk at Raytheon Corporation, which is located here in Santa Barbara and a couple places around the country. And I did a talk on stress and perception and focus. And I got to the end of the talk and the woman that brought me in, she said, thank you for giving us answers. Mm. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, normally when people come in, it's 80% of problems and 20% of, yeah, this might work. She said, you told us what the problem is, 20%. Yeah, this is what stress is. This is how it manifests. And then you gave us 80% solutions. She said, that's what people need. And I had never really thought about it that way because I tend to not focus on problems. I focus on solutions. But that really resonated with her. And I went, okay, good. I'm on, you know, unconsciously, I was completely on the right track of let's fix these issues. So that was really exciting for me.
Yeah, it's the value you give back always. That's great. So now you have a bunch of books, and I'm assuming you have more coming. Did you self-publish those? Did you go through a traditional publisher? What was that process? Because there's so many people with either books getting ready or they're going to publish. What were the lessons you learned in that process?
Yeah, I self-published mainly because the majority of people I talked to who had done it through a traditional publisher, I didn't want to wait 18 months.
I know, right?
I wanted to get my book out now, and especially because it's health info. Not that it was going to so go out of style, but, you know, in the 18 months or 16 months or 24 months that this book was sitting there not coming out, that's one less product I had. It was one less thing for me to sell when I was speaking. You know, I wanted it now. and you know, the only child in me was like, okay, now, and I'm a control freak, so I want my cover and my title. And I talked to a gal at a medical conference. She brought her books just as an attendee, and she sat them on her place. And I thought, what a great idea, because people bought them. They walked by and went, oh, what's that? It's my book. And people bought them from her, which I thought was brilliant. I've taken her lead on that. But she had one that was published by a really large publishing house, very well known. I don't remember which it was. And the other ones clearly were self-published because they didn't have a big name on them. And I said, oh, so you self-published first and then you got with a traditional publisher. And she goes, oh, no, quite the opposite. I said, really? I said, why would you? Because I was so ignorant of the whole thing back then. I said, oh, my God, why would you give up a publisher to self-publish? And she said, they took 18 months. I get crappy royalties. I still have to promote my own book. I did not get an advance. They changed the way I did my footnotes. They changed the title. They didn't like my photo on the back. She said, so I waited 2 years and I held a book in my hands that was no longer mine. I will never do it again. And I went, oh. And you know, at this book fair that I was at this last weekend, I was talking to the gal next to me. She has a mystery series of 5 books. The first 2 are out. The third one is ready to go, but it won't be out till 2016.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, I'm not doing it. I mean, I'm not. You know, if a publisher would approach me now and say, hey, you've got these great books, we would like to republish them for you, sure. Knock yourself out. I would like an advance. You know. But I wanted them in my way. And not to say traditional publishing is bad. It certainly might work for people. I have a friend who traditionally published her book. It's been wonderfully successful for her. She loved the process. But her ego was also tied into, I have an agent. I have a publisher. And she kind of looked at my books like they weren't real books. And I'm like, yeah, but I have 4 and you have 1.
You're like, and I get all my money, or almost. But, you know, minus Amazon. And
well, exactly. And I went through, it's print on demand. There's a couple different ways to do it. You can actually kind of start your own publishing house and just get the books printed. The downside of that to me is then you have 1,000 books sitting in your basement. I went through a print on demand where the books are more expensive. You have to pay up front to have them print, you know, have them set up and printed. So I'm only getting about, you know, if I have a $10 book, I'm only making like $4 on it. But I call them, I place an order, and 5 days later, as many books as I want show up. So I'm not stuck with this huge inventory. They put them on Amazon for me. They handle the royalties. You can buy directly from them. They put them on, you know, in catalogs and such things. I went that route. I don't know how long I'll continue with that because it is expensive. And the more books I have, and if I want to turn out companion books or companion workbooks, I will probably find a different way to do it. I've not figured out which way I want to go on that yet.
Gotcha. Can I ask what service that was?
I use Infinity.
Okay.
And I have to say, I've loved them. They just changed hands again. And both my husband and I have published with them. And he is not as happy with the new regime as I am. He found it to be a little slow and not great communication. But they also just switched hands. And I said, well, you know, I want to kind of give it some time to see how it shakes out. You know, I'm sure with that type of change, you know, it's going to be chaotic for a while. So I'm giving them a chance to work out the bugs and see where it goes. But it's no reflection on them. It's just I don't know that I want to keep paying that much money if I keep turning out product. So
right.
We'll see where it ends up. You know, I've heard great things about Create Space. So
yeah, that's usually the way in, quite a bit cheaper.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
And I will say, you touched on a really great point when you said the woman that was at a conference and she had her book with her. I will say this to my authors out there. Always have your book with you, because
yep.
You just never know who you're going to see, who's going to see you, how it's going to happen. And if you always have a book, whether someone buys it from you or you give it away because that was the person you're supposed to connect with, just make sure it's always there.
Yep. You know, and it's so funny. Right before when my first book came out, of course, you know, your first book, it's your baby. You covet it. You want to make every cent off of it. You know, I made my family buy the books. I'm like, I think I maybe gave my dad one because, you know, it's your dad. You know, you kind of raised me and put me through school. Okay, I guess I have to give you my $7 book. And I did a big PR campaign, which was incredibly useful. I mean, I got so much attention, so many reviews. It was really fabulous. And one of the things he said was, because I was saying, oh, I've got to send books to so many places. And, oh, you know, because they want to review it or they want to read it for the radio show. And I said, oh, my God, I'm giving away so many books. And he goes, he kind of laughed and he said, Kathy, I know you don't want to give them away right now because it's your first book and they just came out. Mark my words, in a couple years, you're going to be using those like business cards. You're going to be handing your book to people. And I'm like, oh, my God, why would I ever do that? And now I'm like, hey, you look stressed. Have a book. You know, it's like, I gave one to my bartender the other day at the hotel I was staying in Sacramento. He was dealing with stress because his father's got kidney failure and he moved in to take care of him. I gave one to a gal at the airport when our flight was canceled because she was freaking out and becoming friends. And I mean, it's like, you know, it's become, hey, you really, you know, I'm not just going to hand them out willy-nilly, but to see someone who so could use that, here's a book, you know, it's not that much, it's, you know, come back to me, believe me. And if it's truly about helping people, you're more generous with things like that. You're generous with your knowledge. You know, I have to make a living and I have a bottom line, but I can't be that stingy. You know, he was totally right. I'm giving them away. Not a lot, but you know, a couple.
Love it. Pass the knowledge, just pass around the knowledge.
Exactly. Well, you got to, man. That's why I have the knowledge. That's why I study so much. If I don't tell anybody what I know, then what was the point of me learning it?
Right. Exactly. So what has been your biggest challenge with marketing?
Oh, I think the streamlining of it. There's so many options and what do you pick? And time is hard for me because I'm not at a desk where, you know, I can just pop up Twitter 7 or 8 times a day and just tweet things. You know, I'm in with clients. So for most of my day, I am sequestered in a room without electronics other than the twinkly fountain and the La 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 CD. I'm not at a computer. So if I suddenly have a great marketing idea, or, oh, I feel like tweeting, blah, 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 I can't. I have to wait till in between clients. And sometimes that's hard. You know, I'm in the middle of a client. I have this phenomenal idea or something that I really want to write down. And I can't be like, hey, sorry, Bill, I'll be back in a second. I got to take a note on something. You know, it's tough because I'm so preoccupied with my other work, which is I love to do. So I think streamlining it and really picking one thing to focus on, and this is something else I'm learning in this Experts Academy, is he's like, you know, pick one thing. And for the next 18 months, do that one thing. And I'm like, oh, I can't do one thing. Yeah. I've got stress and I've got surgery and I've got health and I've got wellness and I've got children and I've got corporations and I've got, you know, and he's really saying, pick one, which I know I have to do. But I hate picking just one.
I think that's probably, for me working with my clients, that's probably the one thing that I do with them, that's with everyone across the board, because they usually have a ton of content. They have all these ideas. They're ready to do this and that. And so it's about keeping them focused with a goal. And this is how we're going to do it.
Yep.
And that's the key, because otherwise we get squirreling, right? We're here, we're there, and it's like, ah.
Exactly. And it's, and you know, he calls us creators. He's like, all of you are creators. You have all this great ideas, all these great content. And it's funny, after I finished my PhD, which was a long and arduous task, lots of tears as I was writing my dissertation, I finished it. I was done. I had my piece of paper and I said, oh good, now I can blah, 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 blah. And my client put her hand on my arm and she said, Kathy. And I was like, what? Why are you talking to me like my mom would have? Why are you yelling at me? And she looked me in the eyes and she said, what is wrong with you? And I thought, oh my God, what did I do? Like, why is she yelling at me? She goes, Kathy, you are pooping on your PhD.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you just got the piece of paper in the mail and you're off to the next thing. Can you just take a week and honor the fact that you just finished a freaking doctorate program? And I went, okay, yeah. You know, and that's the thing. It's like, okay, book's done. What's next? You know, that's just how I've always been. And so to say, sit down and focus on one thing and do that from start to finish fully, not my strong suit. but it was, I mean, it was so true. She was actually mad at me because she felt I was just so, I was disrespecting myself and what I had accomplished. It was just taking the time to honor where we are and what we're doing and finish the task with focus and intent. You know, I wasn't at that point.
And enjoying the journey. That's like, if we don't stop to realize where we are, where we're going, and then look back at what we did, we just miss the journey. And then we're searching and searching and searching, but we already had it.
Exactly. Well, and so often, I mean, it's the journey that's the lesson. And I will never forget this. My then boyfriend, now husband, we had driven from Los Angeles up to Solvang, which was like a 2-hour drive. And we had to drive separately for some reason. And we left Solvang in our separate vehicles. And I was going to spend the night at his place. And I was so excited to get to see him for the evening. And so I threw my radar detector in. My phone had died. I didn't care. I didn't care about charging my phone. I threw the radar detector in and I flew down the freeway. And I'm going so fast because I want to get to his house because I want to spend the evening with him. And I get to his house and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. And like a half hour goes by and he finally pulls in and he looks at me and he looked really upset. And I said, "Why do you look like that?" And he said, "Well, I kept trying to call you because as we were driving down the 101, it's right on the ocean." He said, "The sunset was beautiful and I called you to tell you to pull over. But you were so far ahead of me, and I had turned off my phone because it was more important to go fast and put the radar detector on than it was to get a phone call." And he stopped and he sat and watched the sunset without me because I was in too big a flipping rush to get to his house, have the future and not the present. And I think about that moment all the time. Of what I actually missed was that moment sitting on the beach watching the sunset with him. It had nothing to do with what we're going to do later. It was that moment and I missed it.
That's actually a really beautiful story. It's such an important lesson.
Yep.
Love that. Absolutely. I mean, know where to go from that. Because now I have a technical question, but after that. So as an entrepreneur, what piece of software could you not live without?
Oh, I don't use a lot of software. I mean, I'm just happy I've got an iPhone. that's my hardware. I rely more on the hardware than the software. I don't use a scheduling program because I have to schedule my own appointments. There's really no way to do that electronically. What I do really like is I love my Square. Absolutely love my Square. And I was at I got an award a couple weeks ago for a marketing program I did for my book. I ended up on a billboard in Times Square. It was the coolest thing.
Wow, that's awesome. I did actually see that on your website. That is really amazing.
Oh, it was so cool. And Wink Martindale of game show fame was the MC, and I was all excited to meet him. And I sold a couple books after the awards. Always have your books. And the woman bought my book, and she turned to her friend, who also won an award that night, and I guess had a couple books with her. And she goes, "Oh, you probably don't take credit cards, do you?" And I said, "Of course I do." And I pulled up my Square and I swiped her card. And she turns to her friend, who's another author, and says, "Oh my God, I see so many people with those. You should get one of those." And the woman goes, "Nah, I don't need to take credit cards." And I'm thinking, you're an idiot. Because this woman had no cash. She had no check. $15 sale. Not going to, pay my mortgage this month. But why would you turn down a sale? And she had no interest in getting a Square for her phone. And I thought, wow, it's 20, soon to be 15. You need to take credit cards. It's so easy. I love it, love it.
That's a really great lesson. Be able to take them anywhere. Mm-hmm. Just whip it out. Like it says, some of you have the app, you got to type it all in. That works too. But yep. Yeah, just so that you're there so you can do it at a moment's notice.
Never turn down a sale.
That's fantastic. So what book has gotten you to where you are? What book would you say this was like pivotal, and it could be a couple, whether it's a business book or a spiritual book that has gotten you through your processes and into where you are today?
Oh, wow. One of the influential books that I read way back was one of Louise Hay's books. She's the one that kind of put me on the path to the stress mind-body medicine thing. I'm not a huge business book reader. One of the advantages I had that fueled me on this path wasn't so much reading books, but was talking to live people. I had so many clients who were amazing business people who had no problem with me asking them business questions during their massage.
That's great.
So that was probably one of the most, there were three guys who were entrepreneurs who were brilliant. And if it wasn't for them, I don't know that I would have gotten the way I did as quick as I did. I mean, they were invaluable to me. I read some of Susie Orman's books, and I've read marketing books, and I've written marketing books, and it was just a conglomeration of all of it, of watching my dad run a small business when I was a kid, observing people succeeding and failing around me, and asking questions. You have to ask for what you want. You have to say, "Hey, I need help with this," or, "Hey, can I bounce this idea off you?" And I would say to them, "I know this is your massage time. If you don't want to talk about this, I will make an appointment with you for later." They're like, "Ask me any questions." They love talking about it. I have a gal coming to my office in a few minutes. We're going to talk about her business. I'm going to help her. It's that you know, what goes around comes around thing, and it's about helping people. So I don't think I could pinpoint one book, but it's the people. It's the people.
And that's, I love that, because if you just ask someone or start talking about it, if they're successful, oh, we'll talk to you all day about what they've done.
Yep. There's a gentleman in town who has an amazing business coaching program. He deals with executives and life choices, and, you know, and As I was putting together what I want to do with this coaching thing starting in January, I thought, I need to talk to him. I need to talk to Shannon. And so I messaged him on Facebook and I said, hey, you know, I want to start this coaching program. How often do you talk to your clients? I asked him a couple questions and I said, you know, are there any can you give me any tips? Like, what have you failed at? What did not work for you that I can avoid doing? And he said, Kathy, why don't we get together? And I said, let me take you to lunch. So in a couple weeks, we're going to meet for lunch. I'm taking him for sushi. I'm going to pick his brain. He said I can ask him whatever question that I need to. And because we're not a competing industry, I'm health, he's business, he's happy to help me. And I appreciate that. You know, I will help people too, as long as they're not the massage therapist next door that wants to know how I got my clients. I've had people ask me that. Like, you're my direct competition. Why am I going to tell you where I advertise? You know, it's a little weird. But people around the country have emailed me and said, you know, I'm a massage therapist in Boston and you just look so great. And what did you do? And I'll help people. That's one of the good things about having a level of success, is being able to help other people succeed.
Absolutely. So looking back on your journey, knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently?
I would have put systems in place quicker. I would have, when I did my first book in 2009, I would have had a whole platform set up to go along with that, because I thought about it the other day. It's like, you know, I've done 250 radio and TV shows where I've tried to sell a book. If I would have had those systems in place, how much further ahead would I be? It's all a journey. It's a one piece on the continuum, you know. So I don't necessarily feel like I've missed something, but I feel like I kind of missed something, you know, by being so ignorant as to having that back end stuff in place. So I definitely would have done that differently. Other than that, you know, I'm pretty darn happy with how it all went. I just wish I would have thought more focused about having something more than just one product at a time. Yeah. And maybe structuring my website differently, because I didn't know. You know, it was actually really pretty new when I started doing my website. Those kind of things. Having just different systems in place to streamline what I was doing a little bit better.
Yeah, that platform is so key. And I'll say this to my listeners. So all this information on platform building is going to be in my book, which is out pretty soon.
Oh, great.
Mindful Marketing. So they can go to mindfulmarketingbook.com and check it out. But yeah, that platform is just absolutely key. It's having it there and being ready to do business for something bigger and making that passive income. So where do you see yourself going from here? What's the next step in building your platform?
Yeah, I really want to get my audio program together. I really want to get the video program together. The first thing I want to do is I do a lot of guided meditations. So on Libsyn and on iTunes, I have one for progressive muscle relaxation, doing a mini meditation, doing an immune boosting one, that kind of stuff. I want to start customizing those for people. So that's the next marketing thing I'm going to do, is let people know, hey, if you liked my 5-minute kind of general relaxation, let's meet, let's talk about what you want to achieve. Let's talk about what your goals, your pain, whatever it is, and I'll create a whole meditation customized for you of what you want to achieve. So I'm actually really excited about that. That's my next thing. And then I want to get this coaching thing together to start launch that on January 1st. So those are my next two things. And I'm writing another book. See, I can't focus on one thing.
Your coach is like, you're fired. You only need one thing.
I know. Well, but the book is probably about halfway done. So, you know, as I keep working on that, it's coming so easily. I dictate my books. So I do that when I'm driving in the car and when I'm, you know, waiting for clients and such. So I'm really excited about that. And, you know, then I do dance and flying trapeze, and I got a husband I have to pay attention to, and cats and massage clients. And thank God I don't have kids. I'd be up on charges. They'd be locked in the car for days, and I'd forget I even had kids.
Oh gosh, I know. I like my little dog is enough.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll ask you this question. So what do you use for dictation?
I use the notes feature on my iPhone.
Okay.
Because it converts it right into text. And then I just email it to myself and I cut and paste it into a Word doc. I just tried the Dragon software on my phone. And what I don't like about it is if you get out of the program, it just all disappears.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, I tested it out first because I'm like, I don't want to turn this off or lose a signal and realize that I've got pages and pages that are gone. The notes system just saves it as you go. So if you get out of it, it automatically is in the notes system. So that's very cool.
Perfect. Any last bit of advice you have to my listeners who maybe are just thinking about starting a business and their life passion or in the beginning of it, what would your golden nugget be?
You know, my golden nugget is always go for it. I see people so hesitant of, you know, I have a script, but I don't feel like doing it. Or I'm a writer, but I've never written anything. Or, you know, there's all this fear around stuff. And, you know, just go for it. You've got to give it a shot and do it. If you want to write something, go write. You know, it's just such a phenomenal opportunity to share your knowledge with people. And so I say just go for it, man.
Fantastic.
The wind and just go.
Fantastic. And if my listeners wanted to see if they could get an appointment with you for a massage or hear about your upcoming, coaching classes and stuff, where would they find you?
Yeah, the best place is my website, which is thealternativemedicinecabinet.com. There's links to everything there. My books, my upcoming programs will be there. Really excited to share that with everybody. And lots of links to past radio shows and info, lots of good resources. So it's thealternativemedicinecabinet.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being on. This has been fantastic. And I want to just quickly remind my listeners that if you want more information about this podcast or like a transcript, you can text Mindful to 58885. That is Mindful to 58885. And you can get that information there, or you can go to the website, which is mindfulmarketingshow.com. And again, thank you so much, Kathy, for your time. This has been fantastic.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.